To honor America with the performance of the national anthem, 8-time Grammy Award winner, Chris Stapleton.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Oh, so proudly we hailed at the twilight that's gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular among us.
Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, February 21st, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, as Charles Dickens describes the duality of, the opening of Tale of Two Cities, the best of times and the worst of times. Interesting. So the reason I mentioned that particularly is because there was a lot of talk about Adam Green at the end of last week on this broadcast. Few listeners mentioned Adam Green, and Lark in particular mentioned the video Rabbis Fantasize About the Destruction of America. Lark, you suggested I should watch it before I comment. I watched it, and I watched the almost 10-minute video, and it seemed to go on and on forever. But it's the same old thing that I would expect. It's agitprop. And reminds me of Pike's letter to Mazzini. But why do I say Tale of Two Cities, best of times, worst of times? Because we know reading the Bible, there is the sentiment expressed by Jesus himself in two of the seven letters to seven churches in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 specifically, that I'll just read it actually from the NASB. Revelation 2:9, and this is the message to the church at Ephesus. To the church at Smyrna. I know your tribulation right out of the gates, Jesus says to the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? The first and the last who was dead and has come to life says this: I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And why would you do that? And how does that work? How does that look exactly? And then skipping forward to Revelation 3:9, this is in the message to the church in Philadelphia. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. So what's going on here? And, you know, how does it relate to this discussion? I think what is being discussed by these rabbis, in simple terms, what I would say is, you know, there is, I mean, you think of the Fabian and the Fabian contingent and their mascot being the wolf in a sheep suit, the concept of human shields and things. These are the kinds of people who think these things up. The Machiavellian contingent that brings this concept to war, the idea of false flag, for example. And so this is an age-old concept. How do you vilify a people group? You do this. You hide the you mask the villain in the midst of those people and try to pass the villain off as one of the victims, essentially, or one of the human shields in this case. And this is not a new concept. The irony is, you know, that this concept has been applied to these people, and these people have been vilified. This people group, this demographic, has been vilified pretty much throughout history, using this technique of intrigue and deception, and it is identified here by Jesus himself in the book of Revelation. So this has been a concept that has been employed for at least 2,000 years. Obviously, it wasn't new then. And so the idea is that in simple terms, to introduce wickedness and evil, you do it through the Trojan horse of good, basically. And if you do that, and you do that as a pattern, and people notice that pattern, then eventually that's not going to go well. So it's interesting, throughout, shall we say, contemporary history, over the last, I don't know, in the last 2,000 years in particular, or maybe 1,300 years or so, 1,300 years, there is a people group that is passed off as another, you know, by another name that has deceived and subverted people groups the world over. This is something that is a subject of several books. I don't want to get into the specifics, but the point is just to say the concept has been applied and is essentially spoken to indirectly by the rabbis in this video. They're saying America is Esau or Edom, which is kind of absurd, because when you think about it, Esau and Edom and the Edomites are a specific people group. It's akin to the Jewish issue, which we'll touch on maybe a little bit here in a second too. But America is a melting pot. So to presume that somehow we are all, you know, you make the mental leap from Esau and Edom and the Edomites to America is the continuation of this, but America is a melting pot and always has been. So to make that giant leap is to begin on a logical fallacy, obviously. from a genealogically related group to the melting pot. That's something is missing there in the logic. And so what is actually happening? What is actually happening is, you know, we have this conversation in America. I say we have a duality of history is kind of the way I put it. Some people say America was founded as a Christian nation, and I wouldn't object to that. I would not disagree per se. And then other people say, well, you know, the American Revolution was just as Illuminized as the French Revolution. And I wouldn't object to that either. And how do you advance this nefarious cause? You hide it in a good cause, the Trojan horse of Christianity. And that has actually been done since the emergence of Christianity. Manly P. Hall wrote about it, for example, in The Secret Destiny of America. He talked about how the mystery religions and the secret teachings and traditions and things were passed down in secret and, you know, through groups like Christianity to hide these kinds of secret traditions, you know, somewhat out in plain sight for the initiated anyway, in these kinds of groups, particularly Christianity. And America, you know, again, this is not a secret. It's just something that we can't seem to wrap our mind around, the idea that, yes, it's possible that there is a duality of history, that there was a Christian element, but then there was also the group who were very deistic in nature. During yesterday's broadcast, speaking of the history of chaos magic and, you know, the symbolism and things, I mentioned Matthew Tindal, and he was an eminent English deist author, as Wikipedia even points out. And you know, you look at the list of founding fathers who were deists, it's astonishing. And you can find, there's actually a list on Wikipedia. So what do we do with that? They were not, I wouldn't call them Christians. And in many cases, they wouldn't call themselves Christians. They were deists. And, you know, this gets right to the heart of our founding tenets and the thought, the school of thought on which it's based. You know, you think of guys like Montesquieu and Thomas Paine and David Hume and Locke, and obviously, you know, guys like Benjamin Franklin and many others. What do you do with that? How do you reconcile that? And what does it mean to be a deist versus a Christian? And you can hear it in the language that they used. So anyway, that is something that we would do well to come to terms with, I think, because the Union Jack, as I've mentioned, you know, from the prologue of the Union Jack, this is not a secret. It's just hidden in plain sight, so most people don't see it and don't realize it. From the prologue of the Union Jack, published back in 1971, I believe, Americans will be surprised to learn that America is being used as the major incubator of this neo-Orthodox Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. And, you know, the spirit of Marxian communism, which is, I would say, somewhat redundant, is, you know, the Bolshevik spirit. And what does that look like? I've mentioned from the late great Jack Otto's World War III, for example. You know, the murderous impulse of the Bolshevik spirit, which is coming to America. So what has happened? America is, as the prologue to the Union Jack puts it, has been used as the major incubator of this neo-Orthodox Christianity. It's not Christianity. It is a counterfeit. And that is what has been created and used to accomplish the evil agenda, basically, that is represented in this concept of Western esotericism, which is actually what the rabbis are describing. It's not America, and America is not the continuation of this concept of the Edomites. That's a kind of a reductio ad absurdum, you might say. It's an oversimplification. There is an evil element that is represented and is the continuation of Rome, as they say, and so on. It's the Western esoteric impulse that has existed. It's the Hellenizing influence. We see it in our monuments and things, obviously in places like Washington, D.C., but throughout major cities across America. And those cities themselves essentially represent Nineveh, Babylon, and, you know, there are monuments to strange gods, you might say. So for a country that considers itself, or may be considered by some to be, a Christian nation, how do you reconcile that? Read Tex Mar's book, Mysterious Monuments, based on his 20 years traveling the country, photographing these monuments and studying them himself. How do we explain that? 20 years. I mean, obviously, there was some downtime in between, but, you know, if it were only a few, I don't think it would take you 20 years. If you were on a mission to study all of these, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of pages of major monuments known the world over. We talked recently about the Statue of Liberty, for example, and the reemergence of the, you know, Seven Wonders, and the Statue of Liberty is kind of a reincarnation of the Colossus of Rhodes. Very esoteric. Before John in Tennessee passed away, we had a fairly lengthy conversation about that and some other things. Is that something that most Americans identify with, though? Of course not. Most Americans are not even aware. Painfully unaware. Blissfully unaware. And yet, these things hide right out in plain sight. As I said recently, you know, I need to get back into the, since it's still Black History Month, so-called, for a little bit, I need to get back into the Prince Hall Masons. And, you know, speaking of this, if it's not a religion, we're told, you know, Masonry is not a religion. That's ridiculous. Well, then why are they called Masonic temples? What is a temple? Is it not a house of worship? So these things, they masquerade in plain sight, and that is what is being described by these folks. There's an oversimplification that America correlates to something. That there is a nuanced reality in there that is overshadowed by the oversimplification. And it's unfortunate that, you know, someone would create a video that amounts to agitprop and harps on this oversimplification. Hopefully that makes some sense. Stick around, we'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. All right, let's go to the phones. Patrick in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
I heard you talking about how you. You're stirring the pot big time here with Adam Green and everything, and he's a real dilemma in himself.
I think I'm unstirring the pot, hopefully, but yeah.
That's good. I wanted to comment about, you know, about the situation in the course of human events, it becomes necessary to dissolve the bonds that bind. And, you know, a lot of that stuff that Jefferson came up with, he stole from a sermon by a preacher. You know, he himself, you know, just being a deist, I could say it's almost irrelevant, but
Swedenborg was a deist, I would say, of a fashion. Baruch Spinoza was a deist of a fashion. What's his name? You know, Leibniz was a deist. Bertrand Russell wrote about Anaxagoras. Anaxagoras is recorded in history as a deist. Anyway, I'm just saying there's a theme here. You know, who is God? Which God are we talking about? Anyway, Jefferson obviously was a deist. Speaking of, you know, you mentioned Jefferson. Yeah.
Let me drive this point by Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the Abbeville Institute, these are a bunch of PhDs that study history, especially the South, and they say history can be divided like B.C., you know, and A.D., you know, it's like Jesus was the center point there. Well, you could say, they say like Jefferson is before Jefferson and after Jefferson. He called it Jeffersonian democracy and Lincolnian democracy is what it represents. Jefferson, under Jefferson, we were the most prosperous, richest nation, freest nation in the world. The envy of the world. But when Lincoln took power, you know, he just turned us into like a military zone. You know, everything about it, you go about it, like Judge Anderson Palatano says, he is one of the worst tyrants that we ever saw. And without going into too much detail about that, but he was Jewish. And so there seems to be some kind of a trend there, you know.
Well, we need to define terms. We need to define terms. That's why I mentioned Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. There are those who call themselves Jews but are not. And so who says that they're Jews? You know, Jesus himself said twice in Revelation, two times in two separate letters to seven churches, that he was aware of those who call themselves Jews but are not. So, I mean, that's something I think we have to look closely at when we start diving into these conversations.
Exactly. I understand that. You know, it's like, you know, define, you know, who exactly is a Jew and who is Esau, who is Jacob, and so on and so forth like that is very, very important. I understand that. You know, it's like Jew is a kind of like a very recent term. It's Judean. It's like, well, I'm from Texas. But if somebody else, like a Chinese, moves in here, he can also call himself a Texan. Same thing with Judea. If you live in Judea, you can call yourself a Jew, you know, and that is very, very ambiguous, you know, so it's not very good. You got
geographic, genealogical, and religious designation, basically, so if we're defining terms. So, you know, are they Hebrews? Sure. Paul said he was a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hebrews, now that's Paul. A more definitive term. Mm-hmm. And that's where, I don't know if you've ever heard Charles Wiseman. You know, he wrote that book, Who is Esau Jacob? And, you know, and there's many other people looked into this archaeologically. Yeah. Look, and they've tracked now. All of academia say, well, no, the Israelites went away. They have been, they've been absorbed into other civilizations. They've disappeared. No, they have not. They just did not. They just did not know how to track them. And go ahead.
It's interesting. Speaking of the descendants of Eber, the Hebrews. The term, and I've talked about this a few times, I don't want to dive into the controversy over it, but you know, the term anti-Semitic, it gets thrown around. It is etymologically, it descends from Shem. It's Shem's descendants. Right. You are anti-Shem, anti-Shemite. So how is it if, you know, all of the historical references say that predominant groups of Jews are Ashkenazi and Sephardi. Ashkenaz was the grandson of... Well, hold on. I'll finish that thought when we come back. Stick around, folks. Be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. Adam Weishaupt was considered a deist. Maximilian Robespierre, speaking of the Illuminized contingent, Victor Hugo, Lysander Spooner, Jules Verne, Dmitri Mendeleev, speaking of the conversation Mike and I had recently about how I said the periodic table is alchemical, and it's an old concept. If you study guys like what's his name? Oh gosh, I'll think of it in a minute. Mark Twain, Max Planck, some interesting names: Thomas Alva Edison, Herman Weil. And also Abraham Lincoln, or Abraham Lincoln Springsteen, as somebody like Jack Otto might say, was also considered a deist. Anyway, to finish the point that I was making, and this is not to foment controversy for anyone listening. This is to dispel controversy. That's my aim here. Not to antagonize anybody, but to dispel myths that have been perpetrated and that are perpetuated, because we're not supposed to look into things. So if you read Genesis 10, you can see for yourself the sons of Japheth, were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tyrus, which is interesting, by the way, if you skip up to Ezekiel chapter 38, kind of interesting, you know, people talk about nations. It seems like a familial turf war to me, which puts a whole different spin on that, that great battle, and lots of other things. Just something to think about. But then you read in Genesis 10 further, the sons of Gomer, so sons of Japheth were Gomer, et cetera, et cetera. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmah. So Ashkenaz is the grandson of Japheth, but this term anti-Semitism means that you don't like Shem or his descendants. But Ashkenaz is not a descendant, a direct descendant of Shem. Ashkenaz is a descendant of Japheth. The sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So that's interesting. Why is that term used predominantly referring to people that are not descendants of Shem? Ask yourself that. And furthermore, somewhat to your point, Patrick, that you made, that people say, you know, about this group, I've been asking, you know, honestly, where do we hear about the Shemites? Because Ashkenaz and his descendants were obviously not Shemites. They were Japhethites. And the Sephardic crowd, what I was going to say is, the, according to any, you know, establishment historian source, the Ashkenazi folks and the Sephardi folks are the predominant Jewish groups. They comprise, I don't know, somewhere, you know, over 90%, I think, together of the groups that are recognized by the world as Jewish groups. And Ashkenaz, obviously, is a descendant of Japheth, not Shem. And the Sephardim, Sepharad is a region near Spain mentioned in the book of Obadiah. So that's one of those geographical designations, not genealogically particularly, not religious particularly. So where are the Shemites? And if we're going to use this term anti-Semitic, let's use it and apply it. You know, if I don't like Shem or his descendants, fine, let's have that conversation. But why are we using that term to refer to a group that does not descend from Shem? People should ask themselves that question and maybe search the answer. Next chapter in Genesis, the descendants of Shem. These are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, etc., father of Arpaxad, 2 years after the flood, and Shem lived 500 years, etc., etc. Arpaxad lived 35 years and became the father of Shelah. And Arpaxad lived 403 years after he became the father of Shelah and had other sons and daughters. Shelah lived 30 years and became the father of Eber. Wow. Well, there we hear about the father of the Hebrews. And, you know, you read further in chapter 14, Genesis 14, etc. Anyway, just something for people to consider. This is to dispel these myths that have been perpetrated and perpetuated to get us fighting against each other while the wolf masquerades amongst us and pits us all against each other. Christians don't hate Jews. Christians are grateful. If you read what Paul wrote, who was a Jew's Jew, you know, a Pharisee trained in the way of Gamaliel, he tells us in Romans that as Christians we should be eternally grateful to the keepers of the oracles of God and you know, all the wonderful blessings that we all are that are made available to us all because of this people group. So anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're talking about Shem. Shem, the sons of Noah, you know, one was Ham, and he had intercourse with a black lady, according to with the story that Yusuf Muslim plays out, and he created Nimrod, which is the ruler of Babylon, the most wicked ruler of Babylon, half black, and as it were. And Shem actually beheaded or chopped up Ham for being such an evil person, and then they all of the Masons You know, it's like Albert Pike, who wrote Dogma, Morals and Dogma, code book for Masons. And he says that we won't tell anybody all the new initiates where all the pieces of Ham is hidden until we can trust them. So Ham was absolutely, I'm sorry, but it was Nimrod was absolutely their god, if you were, their patron saint of evil. And but Shem chopped them up for being, you know, is kind of a warning to all of you other Canaanites who, you know, killed the children in the Bohemian Grove style fashion. And so, yeah, Shem was actually the good guy. And how do we get around the Jews becoming Shemites is just absolutely something to be told.
Yeah, there's more to discuss, but I want to get sort of back on track. So,
okay, I'll let you go. I don't want one more thing, though, if you mind. It's like 75%. Mm-hmm. Of ancient Hebrew can be translated right into English, and that's a quote right from Ephraim Kapp's book, Missing Links. I could show you some words like cool, C-O-L in English, it translates to K-A-U-L in Hebrew. It sounds so similar. All just 75%. You can almost translate. I'll let you go. Thank you very much, Chris.
That's a longer discussion too. Thank you, Patrick. Much appreciated. Yeah. Longer discussion. You know, that last talk Jack Otto gave, he touched on that too, and the subject of the language of Yiddish. Anyway, back to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Chris.
Just good morning, sir.
Get my Bluetooth off there. Well, if you're looking for Semites, you might try the Mizrahi Jews or the Mizrahi. Try looking over in Gaza. I think you might find some Semites over there.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, and then, of course, there are the African Jews, kind of redhead. Redheaded stepchildren in Israel. They sometimes want to deport them. That's the not always welcome the African contingent. Anyway,
yeah.
So, to
me, it's a provocative irony when we discuss the Jewish question. What did you say, Chris? You know, no, not that Jewish question. But you know, when the subject arises and we start having this conversation, it's fascinating. That if you're going to identify this people group genealogically, then you're going to have a hard time identifying those people on the world stage today, because
right,
they are
right.
Virtually unknown and unseen in terms of contemporary history. And I wonder why that is,
right.
And why is there a term of art that's used to say that you don't like these people when actually these people are not identifying themselves as those people. They're identifying themselves as something else. You know what I mean? This
right,
artful
right.
term, anti-Semitic, these people are not, they
well,
are saying
Ashkenazi.
Themselves they're not Shemites. So
right.
That's curious.
Right. The Ashkenazis, we also had people talking about this Russia-Ukraine thing. Trying to get, white Slavic peoples to kill white Slavic peoples and all that kind of stuff. That's what's going on. Oh, my God, the Ashkenazis probably have more in common with the Scythians genetically. If you look, they're very white Caucasian people. And so, anyway. But
a humorous point.
Now, what's that?
A humorous point.
Yeah. You said something earlier. I haven't been able to listen as much recently, and you made a reference to John from Tennessee passing away. I was unaware of this. What happened there?
Last month he passed away. So,
Do we know what from or?
Yeah, I don't know the specifics exactly, but something was going on. He had a short stay in the hospital. Something ran him down physically quite a bit, and then it sounded like he was on the mend for about a month. I think that was around Christmas time, something like that. And then last month he passed away fairly suddenly.
I wonder if he was vaccinated or not. That's, I'm just curious.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry to hear that. He's
I
esteemed him as a brother in Christ and a fun person with whom to debate.
Too. I as well. Yeah.
But, I enjoyed, I would have enjoyed sitting down over coffee and hammering away at things for a while.
Yeah.
It could be a long night.
Mm-hmm.
A long night. But anyway, he'll be fondly remembered, of course. And hopefully he's rejoicing in the presence of the Lord at this point.
Well, now you're going to provoke a call from Fred, because Fred's going to remind us all that, you know, Fred says, what happens when you die? He's asked me that question a dozen times, and I always say you take a dirt nap, obviously, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But I agree with your point. I think we're splitting hairs. I'm splitting hairs.
I say unto you, this day shall you be with me in paradise.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm dismayed to see that the earthquakes continue in Turkey. And one thing that popped into my mind about this is where all the people were so anxiously awaiting the imminent occurrence of the Magog battle, one might suggest that Turkey's probably not going to be marching off to war anytime soon, since they have to recover from all this devastation of the earthquakes.
Yeah.
There's a culture, an economy, a country, a people who have a lot of healing and repair to experience. I mean, people often talk about Turkey having the world's fifth largest conventional army or something like that, so, you know, something to that effect. And I would say I don't think they're going to be wanting to pick fights with anybody for a little while. Now they've got a lot of recuperation to do. And may God grant them success in that. And the spreading of the gospel.
Did you say Magog?
Magog battle, yeah.
No. You said may God grant them, and I was being
may God grant them.
Did you say Magog? Anyway.
No, I did not. I said may God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. I got you there. Took me a second, but I got it.
So I wonder, speaking of that, you know, and everything that's going on in that region, one of the things that I have been thinking about lately is how Chuck Missler in particular talked about the reemergence of Assyria. And, you know, this ties back to some of the things that Patrick was just saying. I think, I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth, but, you know, what's gone on in the Basra and surrounding area reminds me of that conversation. And the, you know, H.G. Wells' Shape of Things to Come. I mean, he wrote about that almost 100 years ago. And so...
Wasn't it that he said... I said something about a city in Iraq, too. That you know, things were supposed to emerge from one of the major cities in Iraq. It's escaping me at the moment. But
one of the major cities, not Basra, is what you're...
Not Basra. Oh, but no, I'm sorry. I take it back. I'm wrong. It was Basra. I stand correct.
Yeah.
And, as to Missler, as much as I really like the man, and I thoroughly enjoyed his teaching style and his erudition and his humility and his playfulness, you know, where I found him a thoroughly likable guy, and I learned a whole lot from him. But I gotta say, I think he landed on the wrong side of the the continuum here, or the equation, or what, relative to the city of Babylon. He believed that the, you know, we had the feeble attempt by Hussein, Saddam Hussein, to resurrect the city of Babylon. And it seems that Missler really believed that Babylon was to be the city of Babylon. And it just doesn't fit. You know, it doesn't fit the narrative of the Bible. You know, where we see ships sitting offshore,
yeah,
lamenting, you know, crying a last Babylon, and you know, all of the, and how all the trade, this trade was lost.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and he really felt that there were certain prophecies as yet unfilled that would require the reformation of the city of Babylon. And I think he's just mistaken about that.
Well, we're headed into a break, so we got to continue when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after the short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. I feel like I should play something, and I can't think of it. Nachmanides, by the way, was the guy that I was thinking of earlier, speaking of things that escaped me. But when you start to – I think if you listen to what Chuck Missler said, I want to say it was back in about 2006, about Assyria and the reemergence of Assyria. I think it might – I don't know. It might influence your thoughts on the Babylon deal.
Oh, okay. Well, I know a lot of people are expecting the fulfillment of Isaiah 17 and Damascus as the world's oldest continually inhabited city being, you know, turned into a ruin, ruinous heap, with only animals living there. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, speaking of doctrinal controversies and stuff, you know, it seems to me right now the especially the American evangelical dispensational eschatological prophetic
satanic thelemite realm.
It seems to me, you know, that realm is all agog at the moment, pun intended, you know. Yeah. with talk of convergence and strongly apologetic about and vigorous about the preacher of rapture at this point. So this whole the differing views, people are really going hammer and tongs at the various doctrinal emphases on pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, and all that kind of stuff. I've paid attention to this stuff for years, but there just seems to be this real coalescence urgency and emphasis on this stuff at this point.
Well, I started today by referring to the video. You know, everybody was talking about Adam Green last week, and now I got to finish that thought on the other side of it. So I'll finish that thought and we'll continue on. Second hour coming up, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because